Now for something completely different.
Welcome to Shout Out. Out of the closet and into your ears.
Hello and welcome to Shout Out. I'm Andy Shilton.
And I'm Mitch Graham McMorrow. And today on the show, schools.
We're talking to Hannah from LGBT Ed.
And it's our usual News Extra show where we'll take a subject of your choice and talk about it in more depth.
All coming today, plus a little gems back in the studio. Stay with us, you're listening to Shout Out.
You've never called me a little gem before, Andrew.
I thought he was referring to me.
Here we go. The joys of broadcasting and being the only man here is.
I was going to say, how many?
Hello, little gem.
Hi. I feel very special and also a little bit like a crystal gem because there's a cartoon called Steven Universe, goes out for kids and is made by a person who is out as a non-binary woman, has lesbian couples, had a lesbian marriage in one of the most recent ones, and is on Cartoon Network for kids under 10. It's the best.
Now, if you can't remember that voice, by the way, this is Ella.
Hi, Ella.
I was wondering who it was.
From London.
Ella Bella.
And hello, Tara.
Hello.
Hello. I caught you off guard then.
Sorry. I just tried to think about it.
Can I just say, Andy, there is Terry in the studio.
Terry's, yes. Hello, Mitch.
Yes. Hi.
And I suppose, okay, hello, Steph.
You remembered my name, Andrew.
Oh, she's very happy about that.
This relationship is my favourite thing about this show.
It's everybody's favourite thing about this show.
Secretly, they love each other. But I've got big hugs outside.
I've got some making up, because if anyone was listening to the Pride broadcast, because I had no voice whatsoever, the day after it just totally went. And I actually ended up having to have a week off work and work from home and not talk because I had no voice. And it's not quite back yet. It's still a bit kind of like, you know.
It was a joyous 2 weeks.
I'm sounding a bit croaky like Steph these days, but it'll come back.
That was cool, but that's because you were doing cool things like talking to Alexandra Burke.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, and Snap.
Which, that was my favourite.
I mean, if people haven't listened to the Pride broadcast already, I strongly recommend it. I was listening and I was like secondhand starstruck. Yeah. I was just like, guys.
First-hand starstruck.
We were totes starstruck.
Yeah, no, it was a really, really good day. And a big thank you to BCFM for supporting us and letting us take over for the day. And, of course, to Pride as well, Darren and the team, because if they didn't let us kind of invade and like go up and say, you're a star, will you come talk to us? We wouldn't get to do it. So.
We interviewed absolutely everybody.
Everyone,
we did,
yeah.
Yeah, Stephen Newsmer,
and the Lord Mayor and the Deputy Lord Mayor, I think we had on.
We did, but Alexandra Burke's my favourite.
Yeah, she was really nice. Well.
Yes.
She was lovely.
Yes,
she was. Yeah. you just thought a big star like you get this impression that a big star like that might be a bit of a diva because we have had some in previous years that have been really.
Oh, haven't we?
Yeah. Mm. And she wasn't. She could have been nicer if she tried.
She was wonderful. She was. She reminded me of Heather Small's temperament.
big star, wasn't she?
But down to earth and chatty. And I also got a hug off Alexandra as well.
Yeah.
So they're my two top favourites of the interviews I've done since I've been doing Shout Out. Heather Small and Alexandra Burke.
Yeah.
Everyone else listening who's ever been interviewed by Steffi, you better up your game for the next time you're on the radio.
I did hear that. You just fell off the list, everyone.
Sorry, Lloyd.
And Blue. And
I think Steph was with us when we interviewed Blue.
Were you?
That was in your time, wasn't
you
it?
Were there.
How could you forget?
I was a bit preoccupied. It was Blue. Have you not seen the photos?
Obviously, you didn't interview.
I was there, but it was insignificant because he was drooling.
It's the only time I've actually like got a microphone and I'm I mean, to be fair, the guy did walk out and take his top off right in front of me as I was about to interview him. It was a little bit distracting. Anyway, moving on. I believe we have some events. Who's doing events? Are you doing one, Ella?
Everybody, aren't I?
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
I've just doing an event.
Well, I think Tara's got her. Yeah.
I've got one.
You've got one.
I've got one.
You got one. Cool. Okay. So, Outshout, our pick of the events for the next month. Who's going to kick off?
Right, I'll kick off. We've got a request from Dragonfly Film and Television Productions. They're doing a thing for the Beeb.
A thing?
It's a 20-minute long group of episodes about a taxi. Now, what they're going to do is put whole families in this taxi with teenage kids and all that to see what happens. But
I presume there is an LGBT angle to this, is there?
Well, there's same-sex families in there.
Yeah.
Last time I heard, there was a lot of same-sex families.
I'll go in there with my wife and the grandkids.
Yeah.
That'll be a
There you go. So they're looking for same-sex or heterosexual, it doesn't matter who, but families with kids who can go in a taxi and discuss.
And discuss.
Discuss what?
Discuss what?
Yeah. Traffic.
The tantrums. Right. Let me give you their blurb. Rarely parents get the opportunity to connect with their children, having to compete with technology, selfies, and Snapchat. But there is one place where there can be no escape, the family car. We aim to explore the relationships between parents and teens from all walks of life in all different directions, from dropping them off at prom. That's very American. To moving out for the first time.
You're showing your age.
Does it have to be teenagers?
We're looking for fun, outgoing Bristol parents and teens, whether same-sex or not, to take part. I thought this may be an exciting opportunity to some of your listeners. Would you consider doing a shout-out on Shout-Out? Yes, we did, and we did. And the guy's name is Dan Dunn. So, hello, Dan. It's all done for you.
Terrible.
It was, yeah.
I bet the poor guys had that far too many times. You just did it on the radio.
I bet you've missed that little,
yeah, if you want to follow him on Twitter, or should I say Twitter, it's Dragonfly Film TV. So, it's at Dragonfly Film TV. And if you have a pen, the phone number is 029-2078-6566. And that is in Cardiff. Oh, abroad.
It's another country.
It is.
Cool. Okay, Tara? Right.
Okay, so I've got, I thought I'd keep the theme, Elcon. Sorry.
Elcon.
Elcon, which is the European Lesbic Literary Conference. It's happening in Bristol in August.
So it's
happening on the 23rd to 24th of August. Yeah, so it's full day on the Saturday on the 23rd, and it's a half day on the 24th. Yeah, and it's being held at the Marriott Hotel
in Clifton, is it?
No, it's the one down beside the Bristol.
The
City Hall.
City Hall.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, right. Portion there. Yeah.
It is.
Nice. So the whole objective is to support authors in the lesbian it's lesbian, bisexual, asexual, pansexual, and transgender characters, as long as the focus is on women loving women in relationships.
It sounds really interesting.
Yeah. So it's to support authors in a EU geographic location. How much longer is that going to happen? But independent authors and authors who with publishing, we welcome authors and readers from all over the world. So
people who write can go along as well.
Yeah, and what I thought was really interesting is they've got a co-buddies team. So if you're nervous about going on your own, if you go on the website, they've got a co-buddies scheme. So you can actually arrange to meet with someone and go there together, which I think is really nice as well, to be honest. Yeah, so their website is elconmeet.org. And if you go, you'll find it in there. And yeah, and they've got 4 times 8 is 16, 32 authors in there. Sorry.
And can I just ask you, Tara, what you do for a job a moment?
I'm an engineer.
Okay. Just wondering. A bit worried now.
I just saw the grid and the numbers. So it was like, you know, it doesn't tell you, but it gives you, I counted the columns and the numbers.
Can we just have a list of the buildings you've designed in and around Bristol so we don't actually go in them?
University of Life Sciences.
Okay. So that's a bit dodgy then, is it?
Bristol Airport. So you might not get to go flying this year. there's various things on the day, so you can go along and there's people talking about relationships and how to experience lesbian relationships and how they fit into author and in the books, and you can question them and all the rest of it. So there's groups get together and you can question them. So I think it's going to be quite good.
So like, you know, glorified book club, really.
Yeah. So I don't know how many books you get to read in advance.
I know it's a literature.
I'm not sure how many you get to read in advance.
Probably downing it a little bit, but yes.
Yeah.
I've got friends who write lesbian fiction and things. So
I think it's quite nice, especially in Bristol as well.
Yes. Yeah.
Instead of London.
Marvellous. Yeah. Okay. Thank you very much, both.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Shout Out.
LGBT radio for you.
Now, I bet you any money she'd be listening herself, but this is a very good friend of mine. We actually had her perform at the Shout Out Listeners Awards the last time they were on, and don't worry, they are returning. But this is Tanya Hazel with Superficial.
The Shout Out Podcast.
There you go. That's a Tanya Hazel and a Superficial.
Atmospheric.
I believe it's on iTunes and like, I think, isn't it, Steph?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So
that's kind of, yeah, like, you know, like atmospheric, you know, chill out. A little bit Porter's Heady. Can I say that?
Yeah, I guess you can. I don't think Tanya would be offended by that at all.
But it's got that, you know, that Bristol sound. That's what it reminded me of.
Yeah.
That. You know,
yeah. Awesome. Anyway, thanks for sending that in, Tanya. That's really kind of you. So, and if you like it, go check it out. So, I'll make sure we put a link on the website. Now, you may remember that we talked to Just Like Us, which is a group that go around and go into schools and the like to talk about LGBT stuff and the like. But something has to happen with the teachers and all. And to help us find out a little bit more about that, on the end of the phone is Hannah. Hello, Hannah. How are you?
Hi, I'm very well, thank you. How are you?
Yeah, good. Now, you work for LGBT Ed, is that right?
Yes, that's right, yes.
I was going to say, can you give us a bit of a synopsis and tell us kind of like what does LGBT Ed do?
Yeah, of course. So we're a sort of grassroots movement within the education system. So we're founded by myself and my colleague Daniel. And really, our main aims are to increase LGBT visibility in the education system. And that's because we know that the education system lags behind many other sectors when it comes to representation of the LGBT community. And our focus, as you rightly said, there's lots of brilliant organisations doing fantastic work with students. And what we want to do is try and do some work with the teachers and the leaders in our schools, because what we've found is that teachers are reluctant to come out at school, or teachers are reluctant to just be themselves in that environment. So our role really is to work with them, to support those teachers, and to make sure that they can be their authentic selves in the workplace.
Right. Okay. And is it? It's not just about the teachers being able to be out and okay though. Is there also an element of working with them to help with the kids as well?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's the thing. That's the reason that kind of Daniel and I kind of set this up in the first place is, you know, our lived experiences of going to school was that we had no role models. We had no one that was gay at school. I had no one to speak to. I didn't know that it was okay. And so by allowing those teachers and leaders to be authentic in schools, then we're hoping that they will be the role models that kind of we needed when we were at school.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. It sounds like you're kind of like a similar generation to me, because, I mean, when I was at school, of course, Section 28 was well and truly in force, and, of course, no one mentioned the words, and I didn't know that it was okay or anything like that. I mean, is there still a lot of the remnants from those days still there, especially with the feeling that teachers may have then?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's a really, really good point. And I think we're feeling that even though, you know, Section 28 was repealed, 15 years ago, we're still feeling like teachers are kind of living the legacy of that. And, you know, as you know, I lived through it as a student. Lots of the people I speak to live through it as students or as young teachers. They still feel to a certain extent that schools are not an environment where they can be themselves. And I think one of the problems is that, you know, lots of people conflate sex and sexuality, and ultimately there's a kind of fear there, and that's what we're trying to kind of just break that stigma down a little bit and have those kind of bold conversations with people.
I think this is really, really important. I think it's also really, really current as well. We've just done a awareness and education conference in Bristol, and the young people came up with a solution around offering the teachers a guide. So they've kind of created this guide for teachers around the language that they hear in the classroom and what kind of responses they want from that. So, you know, it's very much young people led, and it's going to be offered out to the teachers in September. So I think it's really important as well that you've come on the show and talked about the fact that teachers do need a lot more kind of encouragement and support around effective challenging homophobic bullying and transphobic bullying in the classroom as well. It's really current.
Yeah, Absolutely, and I think one of the things that we found is that from talking to our teachers, they said, you know, the pupils are some of the most open-minded people that we know. It's actually not them that are the problem often. It's the it's actually, you see that there's, you know, increased levels of homophobic bullying in the staff room, actually. So, and so on the one hand, yes, it's absolutely brilliant that people are producing resources, but I think that's so important. But also we also need to get into the staff room and go, like, what are you worried about? You know, this is okay. You know, we're just people being ourselves in front of the classroom, teaching our children, and everybody gets into teaching for the same reason, because they really want to change people's lives, and that should be no different, dependent on who you happen to love.
Mm. But I mean, surely, I mean, it's a classic case of if there's that going on in the staff room, then surely those staff that are doing that kind of bullying also can't be being that supportive of the kids.
Yeah, well, exactly, and that's the problem, is that it then kind of it permeates throughout all of the school environments, whether that's the classroom, the playground, the staff room, whatever. Mm-hmm. And so really what we're trying to do is just the thing is that what we're finding is that there's just a real lack of awareness, as you said, you know, how to talk about it, what to even say, particularly on the transgender issue. I think there's lots of people who are just so fearful of what to say to people and how to address those issues. So I guess what we want to try and do is to make people be thinking about it and be proactive rather than reactive, rather than to go, oh my goodness, there's a transgender pupil in my class, I have no idea what to do,
just get really stressed out about how to actually, what do we do with this young person? One of the questions we had on the survey was, would they feel comfortable with an LGBT out LGBT teacher? And the majority of young people actually said yes. So that then you just think, well, why is that fear there? Why is that concern for, you know, oh, well, I can't be an out teacher because, you know,
sounds like that's kind of been what you found from what you're saying, Hannah. Yeah. A lot of it's coming from the teacher's room rather than the kids themselves. Is that right?
I mean it's adults, isn't it? I mean, the thing is that none of us were born bigoted, none of us were born homophobic, and it's our lived experiences and the people we spend time with and what we watch and what we listen to and what we read, they're the things that inform us. And, you know, unfortunately, adults grow up and tend to get a lot of, you know, a lot of biases, a lot of stereotypes and prejudices. And so, yeah, that's what we're finding, that, you know, the kids, you know, Daniel, my co-founder, he came out to his whole assembly a couple of years ago as part of LGBT History Month, and, you know, the kids were just fantastic. You know, they were just nice ones, sir, brilliant. You know, no one really batted an eyelid. Because
it's odd to think about it, because in my day, you just couldn't have happened in school, and I would love a teacher to turn around and say, I'm gay, it's fine for you to be. I mean I know that's kind of, it's been like that for a while, but so what kind of, how do you approach it then? I mean, is it something you go and you talk to all the teachers as a whole? Is it a kind of like a, you know, sit down and tell them some of the facts, or is it like a round table type talking, or what?
So at the moment, what we're trying to do is just get around as many regions as possible. So we launched in London, and that was a series of workshops with educators, academic researchers, people who'd lived their experiences and kind of had something to share about the LGBT community in education. So what we're trying to do, first of all, we're huge on social media, so we're big on Twitter. So that's where a lot of our conversations for now are happening. So we're at LGBT Ed UK. And then what we're trying to do is have a series of kind of conferences, evening sessions, those sorts of things that pick on a certain theme throughout the year. So as I say, we launched in London this summer, and then later on in the autumn we're going to hold a series of events kind of around the kind of country. So we're going to come to the north. I'm based in Manchester, so we're going to do something in the north, and then perhaps in the spring of next year we'll head kind of further down south again. So it's really just about, we're starting to just have those conversations, learn from other people what their experiences are. Also, what we're trying to do is really pinpoint best practice, because there are some schools out there that are doing really great work. Yeah. So it's about, like, how can we share that with the rest of the UK? How can we share what you're doing and show them that it works and that it's okay?
Are you planning to go into, like, you know, schools as well and do assemblies in schools or workshops in schools?
Yeah, I think certainly, you know, we're, as I say, we launched in June, and so we're at our kind of early stages of thinking about what are our next steps. But certainly, if schools are open to having the conversation with us, we're really open to having it with them and coming in and talking to them, maybe talking to the senior leadership team, because as we know, it's so important that we get the leaders on board,
yeah,
if they are. And it doesn't matter if they're not LGBT. In fact, sometimes having allies is even more powerful. So, yeah, we're really open to kind of doing that. We're thinking about kind of what our next steps are. Maybe it's delivering some training down in the southeast or whatever. So yeah, we're southeast and southwest. So there's lots of things that we're thinking about. But as I say, we're on Twitter, and if schools want to kind of speak to us and have the conversation, we're really happy to come and speak to them.
Cool. Well, if you are a school listening, or if you're a teacher, or you know a teacher, and that sounds like something you'd be interested, excuse me, in getting involved with, check Hannah and the team out at LGBTED.uk, LGBTED.uk, that is. Hannah, listen, it's been lovely talking to you. I really wish you well with it. I hope it really takes off. What we must do is make sure we catch up with you in like 6 months or so, and you can let us know how it's going and some of the findings you've had.
Absolutely, we'd love to come back. Thanks so much.
Yeah, thank you for sharing.
Cool.
No problem. Thanks so much.
Cheers, Hannah. You're listening to Shout Out. Stay with us. We'll be back in a minute when we'll have some news headlines for you.
The Shout Out podcast.
There you go. Everything stops for
that's
tea.
So old.
Well, that is a remix version. I mean, it's a bit more modern.
I remember it being in the Hit Parade.
It was like a 1930s song originally. But I don't even think there was a Hit Parade.
No, there was.
Flapper dance.
Anyway, Terry, is it you on your own this week?
I am.
You are. Oh,
no one loves me.
Oh, we love you.
We do love you.
So, should we get some news headlines?
Yes, of course. This is Shout Out News on Thursday, the 26th of July. Lesbian politician and essayist Ruth Davidson, who is also the leader of the Conservative Party in Scotland, writes in the I newspaper that Donald Trump does not define America. In an op-ed piece for the paper, Ruth says, Mr. Trump is prepared to sell out his own intelligence agencies and exonerate Mr. Putin. She also strikes a positive note, however, saying that Michelle Obama has recently given a speech at a dinner and that Bill Gates visited a Scottish foundation working with him to tackle malnutrition in Africa. These, she says, are the real spirits of the United States. We should give a big mention to Swindon and Wiltshire Pride. The event, which has been such an enjoyable feature of the Old Town Gardens every August since the late noughties, is not taking place this year. However, they are fundraising hard and have raised hundreds of pounds towards the event in 2019. So if you have a few spare quid, chuck it in their direction. Check out our website for a link to their crowdfunding page. And if you are in Swindon, check out the community radio station Swindon 105.5. or the local television cable channel Swindon Viewpoint for latest updates on more charity events. It's makeover time at The Free Thinker. The popular atheist website has a fresh new look and easy navigation. Known for its scathing analysis of monotheistic religions such as Christianity, Islam and Judaism, The Free Thinker website evolved from the magazine of the same name, which published every month between 1881 and 2014. Never afraid of lawsuits from the religious zealots in society, the paper and website have championed a rational and accepting attitude towards different sexualities and gender identities for decades, even when it was not fashionable to do so. And if you ever want sparkling atheist analysis to throw at those pesky street preachers, here's where you'll find it: freethinker.co.uk. Many people feel more comfortable with a woman doing work around their home or garden, and we know that many LGBTQ people in particular have an affinity to environmentalism. So it's with great interest that our news hounds have learned of Die Hunter, a new female service to take on affordable decorating and gardening jobs in the Greater Bristol area. All of Die's profits are paid to Cool Earth, a non-profit making organisation endorsed by Sir David Attenborough and which works with Indigenous communities in the rainforest of the world to protect the lungs of the planet and important ecosystems. Di can be reached on 07402 352 999. And for more information on Cool Earth, visit our website. And the Irish World newspaper, which has served the Irish community in Britain since 1987, reports that last year some 99 people in the Republic of Ireland obtained a new gender recognition certificate to confirm the gender under which they are now living. The paper says that the Republic's Gender Recognition Act, implemented in 2015, allows individuals to apply through the Irish Department of Social Protection for their certificate. Since the introduction of the legislation, 297 people have been issued with certificates. The newspaper credits Dr. Linda Foy, a trans woman, as one of the prime movers in getting the legislation through the Dáil, that is, the Irish Parliament. For these news stories and more, check out our website at shoutoutradio.lgbt. And for Shoutout News, I have been Terry Starr.
Shout Out News.
National and international LGBT news for you.
Shout Out.
LGBT radio for you.
The Shout Out Podcast.
Man of Action. And the Les Reed Orchestra. Especially for Terry.
Thank you.
Radio North Sea International.
For those of you old enough, that was the theme tune to Radio North Sea International, a very famous pirate station that operated between 1970 and 74.
And what was the on-the-hour sponsorship, Terry?
It was Accutron, the electronic tuning forklift.
Your starter for 10.
Oh, who do you want on a pub quiz on your team? Who do you want?
Terry.
Terry.
Absolutely.
Every single time.
Every single time.
Also, I feel like Terry's radio history should at some point be a bonus thing that happens on Shout Out, because I love it every time that we hear it.
You never know.
It's so good.
They might let me loose.
Yeah.
They might let me loose.
I think they should, Terry. I think you deserve to be let loose.
I've been repressed for too long. Who knows what will happen?
Especially by Steph. Especially by Steph.
What territory are we going into now?
I don't know.
Anyway, Shipponer, this is our News Extra, where we take a topic that you ask us about and discuss it in a bit more detail. And normally I actually read this before we start, and Terry's literally just handed me the sheet. So, mate, what are we talking about this week?
Well, we've got several things to talk about. The first thing I wanted to mention tonight, which has been popping up on Gay Newswires over the last couple of weeks, is that there are reforms afoot in Cuba, making it now the beacon in the Caribbean Sea for LGBT equality. And according to the leftist press, such as the Morning Star, LGBT rights activists in Cuba have celebrated after the country's National Assembly voted to enshrine equal marriage in the new draft constitution. Now, the new constitution is going to have to go to a public vote. So there is going to be campaigning on both sides, and that is happening. But it is an important development, because Cuba is still one of the communist states in the world. And I was talking before we went on the air to Ella, of course, and when we look at the history of the LGBT civil rights movement in the late 60s, of course, there was all this activism suddenly exploded around the time of the Stonewall riots. You have the women's liberation movement, second wave feminism, and in America and in London you have the formation of the Gay Liberation Front, which took its name from the Liberation Front of North Vietnam. But you know, it came from many of the activists came from the New Left, as it was called. They were influenced by Maoism, communism, and Trotskyism. And so there's always been this relationship, hasn't there, between the political left and the LGBT rights movement. But it's been a difficult relationship.
I think that is the point, which I think makes this so intriguing, is that whilst I think it's hard to deny that the LGBT community has had a long and very passionate history with sort of left-leaning politics, at the same time, a lot of communist regimes, certainly that we've seen in the 20th century, have had incredibly negative, if not violent, attitudes towards the LGBT community. Which turns it into this very mixed blessing. I mean, even in the world of fiction, you've got someone like Ursula K. Le Guin, a giant of fantasy and science fiction, but also very famously a communist activist, especially towards the end of her life. She really actively campaigned for much more radically left-wing politics in the USA. Mm. However, her history with the LGBT community has not always been perfect. Her book, Left Hand of Darkness, was seen as radical in the way that it approached gender, but it did assume that the default gender for everyone was male. If there was no gender, then everyone would use male pronouns, which is, you know, it's a tricky thing. And then in her society that had no gender, they just happened to find the one heterosexual couple to be the center of the book.
Yeah.
Which, you know, like, I understand what you're doing in theory. So I think there is that tension that for me as a young person, I would definitely, and this is not BCFM's view, but I personally, outside of BCFM, would define myself as left-leaning. However, I personally also feel that friction with the history of of the extreme left recently.
So, and many gay groups in the 70s found themselves, and lesbian groups as well, breaking with that political left tradition because they came to the conclusion that left-wing politics held nothing for queer people.
Don't you think currently, though, the left wing, the far left wing, or almost so far left, they're becoming right?
Well,
do you not see that loop round coming?
Well, absolutely. And some analysts of the 20th century politics have said the real divide of the 20th century, it was an age of extremes. I think that's Eric Hobsbawm, isn't it, that said that. He said that, you know, that Nazism and communism eventually ended up repeating each other.
Yeah.
And you know, because I mean, certainly as far as minorities were concerned, artists, dissidents, cultural, subcultural groups, as well as LGBT people, all of whom were persecuted by both groups. I mean, it's arguable actually that the Soviet Union killed more homosexuals, transgender people and bisexual people than Nazi Germany. It's
really?
A bit of a controversial, but they were all sent to gulags and the conditions there were so bad, you know. So it's a very cruel history, yeah.
And not to mention much more recently, you look at the Cultural Revolution in China, and China as a country is still an extremely hostile place for people who identify, whether they identify as gay or whether they identify as trans. It's still not a great place to be, and people still do either disappear or just receive a lot of harassment.
That's right, and HIV
Hong Kong, Hong Kong and Macau are starting to stand out, though. They're fighting for LGBTQ rights currently, but China insidiously is trying to come in from across the border and control it and try and change it. But the courts are good in Hong Kong and tend to be independent and are fighting and coming down on the side of LGBTQ.
Good point.
Didn't they have a lesbian, high-profile lesbian get married to her girlfriend in China?
Yes.
Like we tweeted. Was it last year?
Yeah, we tweeted about that.
So there's a kind of sense that actually, you know, we're still here. We're still LGBT.
But you can see when you watch the news feeds, Mitch, and you see what's happening in Hong Kong and China.
Yeah.
You can see China keep pushing and then the courts in Hong Kong pushing back.
Yeah.
Of course, the struggle with that is that Hong Kong stopped being a specially activated region, I think, about 5 years ago now, which is what they were when Britain's contract of ownership over Hong Kong expired. And in, I think it's 2027, it might be 2037, but it's definitely got seven on the end. In the next 10 to 20 years, China will take full control over Hong Kong again. And when they do, Hong Kong will no longer be able to have these kind of independent legislation. So I think the real crunch is to see what happens, because there's nothing to say that China, in terms of its current politics, can't become more liberal when it comes to allowing people to live as themselves. But if it's not considered to be a priority thing and that just quietly happens, then that's, you know.
The good thing, Ella, about China, they haven't got the restrictions that the Western societies have with religion. They tend to be, they don't have the pressures from either Christianity or Islam, which do put a lot of negativity into LGBTQ people.
Although I will say, just as a counterpoint to that, my understanding of especially the history of Confucianism is that it's an extremely gendered and extremely patriarchal thought system. It was something that was imported into Japan early on via Korean traders. Mm. And so there definitely are elements of both misogyny and heteromisogyny in some parts of Chinese culture and religion and spirituality, as there are in other places. So I would hesitate to say that they don't have that problem, but I think different problems are had.
Okay.
I just say it's the counter.
I think that's very interesting. Although I think what Steph was also driving at is that Buddhism and traditional Chinese folk religion, although they can be very patriarchal, as you say, don't have the specific Old Testament proclamations about sexuality that the monotheistic religions of the West have.
Although, of course, as we have talked about on this show, the Old Testament doesn't actually talk about homosexuality.
And indeed, if you check out Pink News, actually, this week, one of the stories they're running, and I think Gay Star News is running it as well, is does, in actual fact, the Bible condemn homosexual same-sex relationships?
What was that? What was that movie?
Look at the scriptures.
Freeheld? About the police officer, New York police officer, who was dying of cancer and wanted her pension to go to her wife, and there was a fight, and they got a gay vicar or priest, and he stood up and he said, "Right, I'm going to tell you exactly what the Bible says about homosexuality." And it just went quiet because he said nothing. He said, "There you go, absolutely nothing. It says nothing."
Oh. And yet the Bible does say you can't wear clothes with two different threads. We'll get stoned to death.
Or men aren't allowed to cut their hair.
And of course the part of the Bible which specifically a lot of people will refer to is man shall not lie in another man's bed. That's not referring to homosexuality. It's referring to extramarital affairs. It's saying if you're going to cheat or help someone cheat, then be it polite enough not to do it in his own bed, in his own house. So, you know.
What about Leviticus, though?
Well, this is the thing. Because, like, not only...
What about him?
So, two things.
You had
first
to mention that word, didn't you?
First of all, I don't think that we can sell our daughters into slavery, which is another thing Leviticus
says. We didn't tell you Ella was coming tonight, didn't we?
Yeah. The other thing, which I find really interesting about Christianity and the, in inverted commas, Christian, but I don't think this is true of all Christian people, but some radical Christians who say that their homophobia is justified by the scripture seem to conveniently forget that the entire point of the New Testament, and indeed the New Testament heralds the arrival of Jesus Christ, after which the religion is named, is that Jesus Christ says all previous commandments are now gone, and the two commandments that you shall obey are love thy God and love thy neighbour as you love thyself. And that was partly because of the draconian series of self-contradicting laws in the Old Testament, which in a lot of ways are really just a collection of apocrypha. So if you're going to follow the letter of Christianity to the law, then you should follow the letter of Jesus Christ to the law. And Jesus message was that you love thy God and you love thy neighbour.
Certainly that was his message, wasn't it? You know, that I got from any Bible, you know, thing, anything about Christianity. I brought up Catholic, so, you know, the idea around God, you know, I couldn't work out why there was so much hate and fear involved in that when he was just a God of love, you know.
Yeah, and I mean, it's Augustine's problem, which is that if God is omnipotent, omniscient, and omnibenevolent, which is to say all-powerful, all-knowing, and all-loving, then a God that knows everything would know that people are gay. A God that is powerful enough to do anything would be able to do something about it. And if that God was all-loving, then that God would not create people who are doomed to an eternity of torment.
Yeah.
Very good. Absolutely. Well, really interesting conversation. I hate to drag it back a little bit, but you have actually segued very nicely into a slightly more light-hearted bit, which is about spiritual awakenings. Now, this was something which has been reported. It actually comes from the Daily Star originally, so it's very tabloid. I must apologise. I don't buy the Daily Star. I picked up on this from the gay Twitter sphere. Now, a trans woman who works now full-time as a medium talking to dead spirits has said she only got her supernatural powers after she transitioned. Beck Sawyer, she comes from Ilford in East London, has said she's always wanted to talk to spirits, but she didn't develop mediumship abilities until after her gender transition. Now, she said, "All I wanted to do when I was younger was talk to spirits, as you do. I saw people doing it on the TV."
Well, I
didn't
tolerate. Does
myself.
That count? Sorry.
Oh dear.
I told you this was a bit more lighthearted. This bit. It wasn't until I went through my physical and emotional transition that the spirit stuff started to wake up. Now, this is very interesting because there's always been. Now, spiritualism is a very interesting. My partner's mum is actually a Christian spiritualist, so she goes to churches where they have readings and mediums on.
Afterwards,
it comes from the 19th century. The Victorians were very interested in spiritualism, as you know, and were always having seances and things like that. There were a significant number, particularly of gay men who were involved in mediumship and expressed their, should we say, more feminine side through being taking on the female persona, for example.
That empathy.
Absolutely,
you know,
So I just wanted to sort of talk about a little bit about the spiritual transition that's been reported. I think Ella's going to tell us.
She's about to burst.
into an anecdote. Go on, Ella.
I've got an anecdote.
I'll be quick because I really want to hear yours. I mean, first of all, that makes me think of Affinity by Sarah Waters, famously a lesbian romance about a woman who falls in love with another woman who's been put in prison for talking to ghosts. But she's not really been put in prison for talking to ghosts. She's been put in prison for channeling the ghost of a man and then having one-on-one sessions with young ladies who want to become more confident. So that's a...
Okay.
I would recommend that book. It's great fun. Affinity by Sarah Waters. But also it makes me think Arthur Conan Doyle famously was a massive, just absolute spiritualist and so forth. Carl Jung, also another 20th century. And then to go further back, Christopher Marlowe, whose interests and obviously whose legacy have been surrounded by all sorts of conspiracy theories about whether he dabbled in magic. He was definitely a spy. We all know that he was a spy. Mm. And also very famously extremely gay.
How are you extremely gay?
Well, he was taken to court for saying all men who love not boys and cigarettes are fools.
I'd forgotten that.
I thought you were about to say that's true.
Well, you know.
Listen, we're okay with straight people existing, just as long as they don't do it in front of us.
As long as they put it in our faces.
I don't want them to be just like, sorry. Yeah. But no, Mitch, what we...
Oh, well, it was only like, when I was really young... in my teens, I went to a spiritualist medium, you know, to get a reading. And what she came out with, her name was Molly Moncrief. I mean, she was this part of the whole spiritualist society in Bristol throughout the, 50s and 60s. And she had kind of, got involved with not Crowley, but you know, there was a circle. So she'd do these readings, and what she said was that the majority of people born now are usually born with their spirit is opposite gender because of the karmic decimation of the women and children and men who got burnt through the 14th and 19th century for witchcraft. So that balance out of the spirit world has created people who will come into this life with the spirit of the gender, if you like. So obviously it's very binary, and it was a very binary attitude as well.
But a very binary period, 50s and 60s.
So for me, for example, I'm born in this life as, you know, embody a female body, but
you're actually a man.
But I've always been male in my previous lives. So all my previous lives have always been male, but then I've come into this life as a balance. I just thought it was just really intriguing. And of course, obviously, I'm a lesbian woman. You know, I'm cisgendered, but, you know, a lesbian woman. But, you know, it's very interesting, isn't it?
It is. And they say about children are very connected to the spiritual world when they're much younger. And my niece once said when she was 4 years old, she said, just in the middle of a conversation that the adults were having, I used to be a boy.
Yeah. My granddaughter said that as well.
Wow.
She's also said, I'm going to be a boy.
Can I ask, was there a context where that you were talking about spirits and the like, or was
we were not talking, we were just in a coffee shop at the time talking about day-to-day stuff, and she just upped and said, I used to be a boy.
Yeah, it's amazing.
4 years old.
Yeah, and a lot of people find that their children do sometimes come and remember previous lives, you know. And there's I saw a documentary a little while ago on this woman whose son, he remembered being in the military, and he remembered he was a pilot, and he'd remembered dying in the plane.
Wow.
And he said, the last thing I remember, and he kept saying, the last thing I remember was being in the air, being in the plane. And it's like there's this 4-year-old child, like, you know.
Well, I know my dad's quite a believer of spirits and spirituality and the like, and his mum was very much like that as well. My grandma, I mean, she passed away now, but I used to live down in Winchester, which of course is famous for the big cathedral there, and I couldn't have been more than about 12-13 years old, and the grandparents had done the usual come to visit, so we'd gone out and we were walking down the right hand side, and we got halfway down and my grandma was just like, no, I can't go past that. There was tombstones all over the floor, because there's loads of people buried there. And she was like, I just can't walk there. So she just, and we were like, oh, come on, don't be silly, we're only going to the end table. She's like, no, I'll go around the other way, I'll meet you. And off she tottered, and as she was going round, my dad stopped one of the tour guides and said, can you just tell us a bit about this grave? And he was going on about the fact that the guy was a known rapist and he'd done all these horrible things and he burnt down houses and he was known as an absolute tyrant. And my grandma never gave an explanation. She was just like, I can't walk over that grave.
She just knew.
And she just kind of knew. And I've never really been a particular believer, but it is one genuine experience I had where someone just said, I can't do that. And didn't give a reason, just like, I can't go over that. And then when we asked someone who knew the history, it genuinely had a history. So I'm not saying it's true or whatever, but I'm just telling you one of the things that happened in my life. So
it's interesting as well, because I don't know, Terry, if you've seen this, because you said about the Twitter sphere, but in my anecdotal experience, there's a lot of overlap between the younger LGBT plus community and different kinds of religions. Things like Wicca, things like sort of magic, and I think a lot of the time people really, really like that and connect with that and click with that, whether it's things like the idea of the triple goddess, for example, that I know a lot of, like, gay women that I know really, really love that and find that that sort of resonates with them. But it is an interesting relationship between our communities and these ideas.
There is, and that's something we can explore maybe, you know, more in another episode, is things that the LGBT community and new spiritualities that have developed really since the 60s or have come back to life since the 60s, such as neo-paganism, the Wicca religion, as you said, and Norse mythology and all this kind of stuff, because there's quite a lot of
Christmas
LGBT.
And the tree was the worshipping of the spirit of the tree
there's a lot of traditional folklore which is very pagan, but dates back thousands of years. But thank you for a fascinating discussion, folks. It's
we could talk a little bit more about that. Thank you so much.
It's a fascinating one. I love hearing it when people have actually had personal experiences especially when you know you can.
One day we'll revisit the haunted pubs of Bristol. Remember the gay scene?
We were nearly going to go on one and do a, like, you know, ghost watch.
Ghost watch.
I think we need to discuss the Spiritual Science Research Foundation as well.
So anyway, well, whatever you believe, or spirits, or what type of spirits you like or dislike, that is it for this week. So thank you very much for joining us.
And as always, everything is available on Catch Up, on the podcast feeds, and available on iTunes, Google Podcasts, and our website, shoutoutradio.lgbt.
As always, we'll be back next week, and Ella's going to present with me next week, aren't you? Which we're looking forward to. So
brilliant.
Join us for that. But from myself and the team this week, say bye-bye, everyone.
Bye-bye.
Shout out. LGBT radio for you.